Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Shall I delete the part of the interview where you say Tony Atlas? I can do if you want.
It's Tony Atlas.
Yes! We all knew it!
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
X-Division title hanging in the balance. Is it Trey Miguel's time?
Cover!
1, 2, 3.
We have a new champion! Here is your winner, and new X-Division champion, Trey Miguel!
He's crying.
Look at the emotion flowing. Miguel right now.
Trey Miguel has realized championship glory here in Impact Wrestling, and for all of us that know this young man,
yes.
Deep down inside, it couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Trey Miguel, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hanging out with, the X Division Championship right here.
Oh, that old thing.
That old thing over there, you know.
Little cheeky championship. How's the new spider tray settling in? Because you got a new bad boy on your calf, haven't you?
Yeah. I got a new tattoo the other day. It's, dude, the swelling went down a lot. It was non-weight-bearing. And I put the X belt on the back of my leg, too.
You have? I didn't spot that in the picture. That's ace. Yeah.
I'm covering it up.
That's a treat for the Patreons. We're having a good look at Trey Miguel's calf. There it is. That's nice. I thought when we chatted tonight, it would be all bandaged up, it'd be all taped up, and it'd still be healing. But that's a beauty.
I went to the gym earlier, and I was like, what's more attention grabbing? Just having a fresh tattoo or having it bandaged up? Like, oh, look at my protected new tattoo. You know, I was like, I'm just going to go about my business like it's any other day.
Obviously, it's spider tray is the thing. But what inspired that particular design for the tattoo? Obviously, the X division thing is there. But what was the inspiration behind it?
So the tattoo itself was actually a flash piece. The gentleman that did my entire left arm, his name is Tony Touch. He lives here in Toledo, Ohio, and he does a lot of mural work all over the city. Some of our biggest bars, he's bars, side of buildings, half of downtown. I mean, his work is all over the place, and it's one of the most recognizable, like, hands that they're, like, you know that Tony Touch's hand touched something when you drive by it. So I've been a big fan of his artwork forever. And after he did my entire left sleeve, which were full of my ideas and things that he brought to life, I bummed him out when I told him I wanted it in black and gray, because he loves doing these big, colorful, poppy pictures. And he recently got online and had a book of flash drawings that he was, proposing, hey, if anyone would like to look into the secret stash, I will let select people pick tattoos out. And luckily I've sat with him enough times and I have a good enough rapport with him, and it helps when I'm on TV. I was like, hey, can I take a peek? So I came across this Spider-Man design, and I love Spider-Man. I always have. Like, as a child, my two biggest loves in this world were Spider-Man and pro wrestling. So, and I would like dedicate Christmases to one or the other. Like, one year it's just all wrestling, next year it's all Spider-Man, and then we're gonna just keep flipping these things back and forth. So when I saw the piece, though, it was already drawn up as is, and I thought about it. I saw it on October 1st, and I was like, man, that's so cool. I'm doing the Miles Morales character on TV right now. And personally, I feel like this has been one of the not only most trying, but most maybe most trying, challenging, and uplifting slash, like, I don't know. I just feel like this is really the year I found myself, and it took a lot of work to get there. And I'm really proud of the body of work I've put out in professional wrestling over this past year, and feeling more comfortable in my own skin than I ever have, which means a lot to me, because I feel like there's no way you can, if you're not happy outside of wrestling, you're not going to be happy inside of wrestling. I feel like those things are kind of, you know, dependent on one another. And I just loved the artwork of it. I'm like, man, the Miles Morales thing is so sweet. I would love to tattoo that on me. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of your original pieces. I want an original Tony Touch piece on me. So let me pick this one out. And he goes, cool. Yeah, we'll do it. So when I pull up, the original sketch didn't have my TM logo on it, though. It had like the actual Miles Morales spider spray paint. He goes, oh, dude, I thought it'd be super cool if we had him spray painting your logo, you know what I mean? Because you do the Miles. And I didn't tell him why I was picking this tattoo. I just told him, hey, that's awesome, I want it. But I had my reasons for it. So when I showed up and he even made like personal connections between the piece and me, I was like, well, this is really cool, sweet. And then I had this last minute idea. I was just like, can we throw the X Division Championship in it? You know, I was like, I'm not going to have this belt forever. And this would be really cool to do while I have it. And I don't know if like I'll ever get a replica made or not. I was like, but this I know I want. Like, I want something that's permanent, that like can't be lost somewhere or stolen from me. I was like, let's put this on it. So he put it hanging out the bag of Miles Morales' backpack, and I got my X Division Championship with me forever now.
It's so cool. Oh, you said there that Christmas alternates between pro wrestling and Spider-Man. You must be torn this Christmas, because it's your first Christmas as X Division Champion and the new Spider-Man film's out. Where's your loyalty lying?
That's why I got the tattoo, because it honors both. It's double my whammy. Christmas gift to myself. You know what I'm saying? Because I always get myself a gift. This was it. So I feel like we crushed both.
Nice, nice. We're gonna talk about the wrestling side of things, because I've asked you, Trey, to choose three wrestling matches that you would watch while stranded on a metaphorical desert island. And we're going to go through them and talk about little bits in and around your career as we go. What would you like, though, your first wrestling match to be, Trey?
Okay, my first wrestling match would be Austin Aries versus Samoa Joe at Slammiversary for the X Division Championship.
Now, obviously, it's a match. I want that belt that you got there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's and the reason why is just because it was in the midst of me being obsessed with this championship, and like more than ever, I was the biggest Impact fan at the time. Austin Aries was my favorite wrestler. He was doing the most incredible hard-hitting matches. He was someone that I appreciated so much, because when I was 16 and 17, I was very unathletic, but I was very like into wrestling. I was doing shows all the time, but I was just like, man, I'm small, I don't have a lot of weight and muscle, so people expect me to do all this flying and this flipping, which I don't know how to do and I don't feel comfortable doing. I was like, man, but like, if I could be like a guy like Austin Aries, who's not tall, really, he's not one of the big buff dudes, but he wrestles like a heavyweight, even though he's in all these cruiserweight style matches, is like, that's who I want to kind of mold myself around. So I paid so much attention to him, but like that particular match created such a big, big fight feel. You know what I mean? Just him and Joe standing across the arena was freaking packed. You get this sweet, you know, panning out shot. And I was just like, I feel like that you could have put the two biggest stars in the company at the time against each other in the match. And I can't remember the rest of that card, and maybe they wrestled each other, maybe they didn't, but you can't just take two names and be like, oh yeah, go be Rock and Hogan for 5 minutes. It doesn't work with everyone. Like, not everyone can recreate that. And for two guys who I don't think were the top two on paper, you know, the way they're promoted and the way they're booked, you know what I mean? They're kind of being booked like mid-card guys. Like, those dudes went out there and showed you, no, we are two of the pillars holding this bitch up, and we can create this big fight feel. And even if this is the first match, it's the fucking main event. And that's all I felt when I watched that match. And that's all I ever feel. I love that match so much.
It's a belt. It was a match for the belt that you have resting on your couch right now. Do you feel any pressure from that, from having the belt that these two competed and threw it all out there for?
Bro, I feel pressure over the fact that no one lost this. The fact that Josh Alexander was the previous champion and thought that competition ran dry, so he gave it up. How do you fill those shoes? You know what I mean? It's like it felt like it was deserted. It didn't feel like it was vacant. It felt like it was like, this isn't cutting it. Like, that's like, I feel like I have to build this thing up again. That's a lot of pressure. You know, I mean, forget the list of guys that have held it. I mean, which is exponentially intimidating. They were all some of my favorite wrestlers and some of the most way paving professional wrestlers that we know today. But fuck, man, someone said this isn't enough. I'm giving this up for something bigger. I build that up a little bit. I got to give this thing some prestige. I need to put on the best matches of my entire life right now. Make this something that people care to watch get defended.
You mentioned there that you remember watching Austin Aries when you were 16. By this point, you've been wrestling, or you've been 2 years since you'd started wrestling training. And I love the fact that you told this story previously about how your wrestling training got started because of your friend's dad's kidney. It's an incredible story.
A hospital lost a kidney and owed a man $100,000 afterward. And dude opened a wrestling school and asked me, as you do
with lost kidney money.
Hey, you know what? I know how to flip this.
But so you're 14 years old, you'd fallen in love with wrestling at that point, and they said, let's go for it. Your dad wasn't so keen though, was he?
He, you know, I'm not even going to lie to you. My freshman year was a bad year. Academically, I had fucked off the entire year. Did terribly. I gave my dad no incentive or reason or even an inkling of, yeah, you can do this. Like, there was no reason he should have signed off on letting me do it. If I were my dad, I'd be like, no, you deserve dirt for dinner. Go to your room. But he did. And at a point where I at the time I genuinely knew he shouldn't be saying yes to, and I think that's why I wanted to work so hard at it, because it's not like I'm just asking for something because I want it, and because I want it I feel like I should get it. You're my dad. Like, I 100% understood. I was like, dude, I know I've been ruining my life over this last year. I failed my freshman year of high school. I'm gonna have to repeat that. Now I'm now gonna graduate a year later than all my friends, and if I have a similar year upcoming than this previous one, then I'm only doing worse. But so I completely understood, like, he shouldn't say yeah right now. This isn't I thought about that before I asked him. I was like, you know, this is probably gonna say no, and it's better that I understand why before I hear no and then get mad and then react to it like immaturely. So I'm very surprised that he said yes, but because he did, I told myself and I promised myself and him that I would work as hard as I ever worked, or harder than I've ever worked for anything in my life. And getting signed to Impact felt like a payoff, but bringing that home felt like the degree. Like, he put me through school and I brought home the degree. That's what that felt like.
You mentioned recently that you're going back, or you might be in the process of going back to do your GED.
Oh, I finished that up. I did it. Yep.
So what was the moment where you decided, okay, now the school thing didn't work out, I threw everything into wrestling. So when did you decide, like, okay, I'm going to go and give this bit another shot? What made you decide to do that, do the GED?
It was something that I always cared about, genuinely. And I'm getting to a point now where, I mean, I'm it's so hard to hear, oh, but you're so young. I'm 27 years old and I've been wrestling for 12 years. I gave up my teenage years and the high school experience and teenage experience to hit the road, become friends with 30-year-old men and, you know, live life like one of them. So it feels like I've been a grown up for 12 years longer than I have been, if that makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of growing in a short amount of time.
I don't go out. I don't do any, like, I'm an old soul, dude. I'm just tired. you know what I mean?
I get it. So, okay, let's move on with your second match. So we've had Austin Aries, Samoa Joe for the X Division title. What's your next match going to be, Trey?
Blood Generation versus Do Fixer at Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay. So Ring of Honor is just a plethora of incredible matches to choose from. But why this one, dude, in particular?
Because it just doesn't stop, man. It's one of the most awesome tag matches. It's an 8-man tag that is just nonstop. I mean, it's just so everything everyone wishes they were doing right now, but they're doing a shitty imitation of.
which moments from that particular match like stand out to you when we talk about it today?
I mean, honestly, the reaction from the fans. I don't feel like I've seen a reaction or like a true appreciation. The way the fans, they stood on their feet for the entire duration of the match. It's a 20-minute plus match. It doesn't slow down ever. It didn't give the fans a chance to breathe, but they didn't lose a breath, if that makes sense. Like, they were there to react to everything. It's just something that no matter how spoiled fans can be or how much they expect out of you, I don't see that being recreated. That was such a vibe, and I've never been a part of something that like, oh, let's burn everything. This is so awesome. And I'm jealous of it. And I just, it gives me a bit of like, let's keep working. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't gotten a reaction like this, man. This is something so different and so like, it's mad. You know, it's just like, it's the most contagious thing I've ever seen. Like, if you've seen a symbiote just go nuts under like a little case before it takes over, like, that's what this crowd reminded me of. It just literally wanted to be unshackled. I was just like, I will do anything to be a part of one of those moments, one of those matches, and I'm yet to do it.
You know what you're yet to, but there'll be many people that listen to this that will reflect on a Rascals moment and go, no, I get it. Because, like, you know, in six-man tags, you guys went, and you do.
Yeah, but there's something just so special about that. If you haven't watched the match, I really urge you to, and you'll see what I'm saying. It's from the minute it starts to the moment it stops. No one sits down. It's so just the amount of, that's in everyone's faces. I mean, like, they're literally, they can't take what's happening. They're going like crisscross between the ears and everything. And I'm not saying we haven't had good matches or enjoyable matches or matches that made people feel that way, but the reaction wasn't as contagious apparently, because there was no one not doing it. You know what I mean? So, but it's good to have that feeling of, oh, I haven't done that yet. It makes me want to work harder, because the moment you feel like you've done everything, you should just wrap your shit up and get out.
Yeah, that's it. If the butterflies stop, then that's probably when you stop.
Yeah, then get out. If you're not nervous before your match, then you probably don't care about this. Honestly, exactly. I do this weird thing before every single match, and Zach does it too, or Nash, where you go, like, we just do like one good and just hold in the throw up, and we're like, all right, I'm good. I needed to do that. But if I don't do that, I feel weird about what's about to happen.
So it's a bit like almost like a superstition thing now, that if you don't do it, then
it's not superstitious, but it's a good reminder that I genuinely care about this match, what's about to happen. I'm nervous about it. And if I'm nervous about it, that means my heart's in it. That means I want to do good. I want the fans to love this. I want to be safe, and I want them to come out safe too, which is the most important part of any of this, with or without anyone enjoying what's happening, is to let wrestlers leave a match as healthy as they entered it.
The first time
we all got a family.
You've all got stuff going on, and you know, and obviously your family. When we talk family and wrestling, we talk about Dez and Zach, and I love the fact that there was wardrobe heat between you three when you got started. It's the best way to describe it, is wardrobe heat.
Oh my God, dude. The amount of, it was so hard coordinating anything with it. I mean, we would show up to tapings like, oh, I brought black and white. I brought the colored ones. I was like, well, I got the Ohio State colored tights. I'm just like, Jesus, fuck, dude. We have a fucking group chat. why we just all thought like we were telekinetically like, okay, this is the color. It was the dumbest thing in the world, but there were so many times we showed up on it. Mainly we didn't do so bad for Impact because we knew it was much more important, but on the indies you got what you got. Yeah. Which we thought, what, at the end of it though, it kind of became a running joke because we were like, you know what, it kind of makes us a little bit more rascally. Like, why coordinate everything? If I'm baked and I'm not looking at my phone, I'm just going to grab anything. I'm like, oh, yeah, here's wrestling gear. Like, y'all are lucky my knee pads and kick pads ever matched once we got to that point. I don't want to hear shit. Like, y'all lucky I didn't go out there in sweat shorts. I just said, screw all gear. You know what I mean? I'm going to go out with a joint in my mouth or something like that. It is really funny. But, and that was also something that would happen too. We would like, someone would forget gear and we're like, okay, well, none of us are going to wear gear now. Can we do that? We can do whatever we want.
That's the joy of it. Was it Des or was it Zach who, not long after you met, went, you look like Ricochet? Why'd you look like
Des,
Ricochet?
Dude, man, the day I met Des, I still got a little bit of.
Do I remember hearing that he called Ricochet and went, hey, mate?
Here, I'm gonna tell you the story right here. So we're working out in the basement in Dayton. I got there the day before. There's all this hype. Oh, Des is coming home. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know what I mean? I've had interactions with Des over social media. I was surprised that he even followed me. And whenever I'd get a like from him, I'm like, oh, here's that one dude who's never in Dayton when I go down there, but I know a lot of, and everyone loves him. He's, you know, he likes my stuff. You know what I mean? Hopefully he's a cool dude. You know what I mean? Bro, the day he walks down the stairs, he goes, wait, hold on. Goes, I got to record. I got to send this to Trevor. And he pulls up his Snapchat and he goes, I found your son. Oh my God. And then I do this. I go, hey, Trevor. And he goes, have you met him yet? And I go, no. He goes, don't call him Trevor. And then he just I'm like, oh my God, bro. What the fuck? Like, I'm embarrassed about getting embarrassed and doing something more embarrassing during it. Like, I wish I just slapped that fucking phone out of his hand. Like,
but you became friends for life, and you know, I'm not gonna bore you with the question about, obviously we know what they're doing now.
Who said we're friends for life?
I had a rumor. Des did, weirdly. Obviously we know what they're doing their thing, so we're not gonna go into, we know it was personal, it was family reasons that meant you did your thing, and look, you're flying. It's incredible. What I want to mention though is the other night on NXT they did a thing where they finally met the shaman, and I went online, and it basically, the internet has boiled it down to three people: either Rob Van Dam, John Morrison, or you. And obviously, it's none of those three.
I found out who it was yesterday, and then Zach called me again about it today, and he's like, "Dude, oh, bro," I'm like, "Whew, I can't believe this!" I'm like, whoa. I was just like, "Dude,"
so they're pumped for it then.
Oh, bro. Oh my, when y'all see who it is, it's so great. It's so great.
But
I think it's someone that's unexpected, but when you see it, you'll be like, subliminally, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Ah, of course.
Like, they wouldn't talk about that on TV, but in real life, yeah, that makes sense.
But what's the reaction to you when you see like the rumor starting and people going, oh, it's definitely Trey, it's definitely Trey, it's definitely Trey. Like, are you tempted to bite on it? Are you just letting it ride?
Oh, no, dude, you got to just T-Rex it. You know how, like, if, like, a T-Rex is by you, you just don't move, don't it just, like, it'll forget you're there and just wander off and go to the next subject. You know what I mean? I do feel like when stuff like that happens, whenever there's some kind of mystery and people just get to tagging me and stuff, I feel like probably like how Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire feel about the Spider-Verse movie right now. Like, oh, I can't answer anything because I don't want to ruin what they got going on. I don't know who's writing their stuff. I don't want to just be like playing along with something and then ruin the story or the joke. So I try not to chime in on social media about what they have going on, unless it's just in support of what they have going for the day, whether it be a championship match or just saying MSK day or something like that. You know what I mean? Just to let the fans know I am still paying attention. I still love my brothers, but I'm not here to give any of your conspiracies a rub or give any of your ideas or hopes any extra to it, because that's not what I'm here for.
So shall I delete the part of the interview where you say Tony Atlas? I can do if you want.
It's Tony Atlas.
Yes! We all knew it!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Got so much beautiful creative freedom at Impact. The spray paint entrance that we saw from Bound for Glory.
Hey, thanks, man. Someone put it over. That's awesome.
That was ace. That was you, right? Was that you?
Yeah. That was 100% my idea, and it's an idea I pitched months ago, and they were like, "We'll come back to it, man. I just got to see it. I don't know." And I was like, "All right." And then come Bound for Glory, I was like, this, "All right, look, please, like, listen. This is what I'm." And then I painted the picture for them. They're like, "Oh yeah, we could do that." I was like, oh my God. If you would have listened months ago.
There's so many ideas. Great. Get lost in translation like that. It's almost like you want to go, I just want to show you what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, then you'll like it.
It's all my fault. You know what I mean? Like I bring it up while guys are trying to film vignettes and promos and just edit stuff. And it's hardly ever really a good time to bring it up unless you're not at work. But because it was hard to describe it over the phone, I waited till like one of the days of tapings where someone had a million things to do. And I'm just like, this is the worst time I could bring this up. And there's no reason why they wouldn't just shut me out. So I deserve that.
It happened, but you're loving the creative freedom though. It seems.
Yeah.
And there you go.
I'll tell you where I actually got the idea from too. Aside from the Miles Morales Spider-Verse movie, because he actually, you know, does tag in that movie, which I thought was like, if I could figure out a way to do this, that'd be really cool. But, Taya Valkyrie, when she was at Impact, her Titantron was a video of someone spray painting a wall saying, you know, and it said Huera Loca. And I remember thinking, dude, if they just put Huera Loca up there and like had her spray paint it, that would be even sicker. And it never was a thing. And then unfortunately, you know, she left and no one was doing anything like that. And I was just like, this is too perfect for the Miles Morales character. Let me shoot this idea. It's something I think will work. And honestly, I mean, while I was sitting on the idea, I had someone else shoot me the idea. My buddies at Collar and Elbow were at one of the tapings. They're like, dude, you know what? We thought about this thing. That'd be so sweet. And when they told me, I said, dude, I literally pitched that months ago. That's so crazy that you said that. I said, but now that you said that, I can validate that it's a good idea and that I'm not stupid. We're running back to the office.
Who would you pitch that to then? Would that be to Scott DeMore? Would you sign off on that? Would there be higher ups?
No,
other management you'd have to go to?
No, actually, it would just be one of my good friends at the company who has been there since day one, handles most of the editing and pretty much everything you see that touches TV runs through Eric first, but it's Eric Tompkins. So I ran the idea to him and he was like, yeah, dude, absolutely. We can for sure do that. It was a matter of timing. I was in like the timing when I pitched it, regardless of like the day, just like where we were storyline, it made no sense. I would have just like popped up on an episode one week with like a throwaway match on BTI or something like that, doing this new cool entrance that would have gotten like, it just would have been swept under the rug and no one would have cared about. But so I think, and it was his idea too. He goes, why don't we wait for something big like Bound for Glory or something like that, dude? You know, it'll mean something. So that's why I waited. I actually held on to him saying that and just kept it in my back pocket for Bound for Glory.
And there you go.
And it just so happened to be this match that was happening. I was like, this is a perfect storm. This is so cool. And It was really cool to see people's reaction to it online. It's really cool when something that isn't just a move gets over with people, and like they actually have a really like real appreciation for it. You know, like talent was retweeting it and comment and sending me messages like, dude, that idea is so, I was like, that feels really cool to get that reception from my peers and the people that watch the product who are, you know, those opinions matter most. They are either going to give us viewership or take away from our viewership. So it was really cool.
We've got one more match to get to, but before we do, I always like to spring this on people. It's nothing bad, Trey, I promise.
If I can touch on something, this will be hilarious.
Oh, right, please,
before I did it for the, right before I did it for the first time, I forgot how, like, because it goes like counterclockwise. I forgot the fucking animation of it. So I'm like, no. They're about to turn the lights on. I go, dude, I don't remember how this goes. And thank God for Johnny Bravo. I think he goes, or no, Eric Tompkins was right there. He goes, I don't remember. Let me send it to Josh, or let me ask Josh real quick. And Josh Matthews saved the day. He sent, like, right before I went out there, I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God, bro. I was just about to just start.
Because that could have killed the whole thing stone dead.
Oh, dude.
It's like, yep. Just in any old order.
Yep.
God, well, God bless Josh Matthews for that then.
Thank you, Josh Matthews.
Thank you, Josh. Hashtag thank you, Josh. As well as three wrestling matches, I'm also asking you to take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item. So the item can be something which has got some personal meaning, could be a bit of tech for you to have on the island, something, you know, a bit of a creature comfort for a stay on a desert island. Movie, though, which Spider-Man movie are you taking, Trey?
Oh, well,
it doesn't have to be Spider-Man. It can be whatever.
All right. So I'm going to answer. I'll answer Spider-Man and any movie. Does that sound cool?
That sounds good. All right. So
if it were today, it wouldn't be able to be No Way Home. But I am sure if No Way Home were already out, I would choose that because it's about to be so awesome with this multiverse, dude. I would pick Spider-Man 2 from Sam Raimi, the original trilogy.
Nice.
And then outside of it, I would probably pick The Dark Knight.
Oh, good shout. Really like how DC went dark as Marvel went brighter.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I didn't, you know what? I didn't even mean to pick two superhero movies. I was just like, what are you like your actual just favorite freaking movies of all time?
And they're just what you like. Yeah, they're just what you like.
I've seen as much as I'm a Halloween freak by like to no end. I watched The Dark Knight in theater 8 times.
Wow. That's commitment to the cause. That is, dude, that,
I wouldn't quit watching it, bro.
How many times were you watch Spider-Man, do you reckon?
I bought myself two tickets for the opening day already.
Cool.
So, assuming it's as awesome as I think it's going to be, we might top the record of, all right. So I'm going to speak this into existence.
Please,
this movie is going to be so good that we're going to beat the record of The Dark Knight because of its awesomeness. And because I now get a discount on all of my movie tickets because I'm part of the Movie Club Cinemark app. So I get a free ticket every month and I get discounted prices plus 20% off all concessions. How could I not go watch the hell out of this movie? And I get points for every ticket I buy. Give me all the points.
This now feels like a proper podcast because we've got promotional consideration in the middle.
Maybe by August, I'll get a free small popcorn.
Otherwise, you have to pay $37.90 like the rest of it.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you know what? Keep me updated on Twitter. I want to watch how many times you walk into the movie theater for Spider-Man. I want to watch every walk-in. Every single time. Album. What album would you like to take, Trey?
Good Kid, Mad City by Kendrick Lamar.
Straight in there, you knew. Why that one?
Because it's a story from start to finish. It's like it's an imaginary movie through audio. It's so good. Like every song leads, like picks up where the last one led off, and it's such an easy image to create in your head. Like I feel like I'm watching a movie when I listen to this album. It's not like just all over the. I don't feel like albums are all over the place, but you know what I mean. Like some albums are just albums. Sometimes there's no message behind it. It's just, hey, this is the music I made. This is the order in which I felt like it flowed for a nice roller coaster emotionally. But that album is, it's based on one night, and it's a story from start to finish. It's put in chronological order. And it's just a damn good musical album at the same time. If that weren't it, I would have to pick Issues' first album, which was just titled Issues. So
nice. Okay. And how about a luxury item?
My phone.
What are the last three apps that you had open on your phone?
Let's look at it.
Trey Miguel has disappeared from the conversation.
Snapchat, YouTube, and Instagram.
Nice. Keeping the Snapchat dream alive. I like it.
Yeah, man. That's where I talk to Ricochet every day. Oh. I can't let fans know. I can't let people know that we're actually friends in public.
That would ruin the illusion.
It would ruin the illusion.
Okay, so your third and final match then. What are we going for, Trey, for the Desert Island?
We are going with Halloween Havoc 1996, Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio.
Oh, a beauty. Can you remember where you were when you watched this for the first time?
I was actually already training for wrestling. I hadn't seen it until I was 15. And I was at my first wrestling school on Telegraph Avenue across from the Grogan's Town Chrysler dealership in Lot 1.
You remember exactly the address as well. That's great. It's one of those matches that even to this day stands out just because of, like, it's a match that would be on a wrestling show today and would hold its own, if not excel everything else on there. Like, it was beyond its years.
I don't hate the term ahead of their time, but, like, because those guys were always just so good. Like, they were on a different level always, you know what I mean? And I don't, just because they were doing it then and it's not all that's happening now, but it's the more popularized style of wrestling. I don't want to say like they're just ahead of the time. I'm just like, they're just the OGs of this shit, dude. Quit thinking today's the standard. Like, if they did it then like we're past our time or some shit, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, fuck that, they're ahead of their time. They're the OGs of this. They started the wave, bro.
Is there a moment from that match that has inspired a moment within one of your matches?
No, not a specific moment as much as it taught me what a good underdog looks like and what a good underdog moves like and how to build that story with a little bit of longevity, because it's not a quick match. And for two guys that were, well, Eddie's always been a little like a tweener on his size, like a bigger guy, but not a bigger guy when you put him next to a bigger guy. You know what I mean? And it's a freaking clinic. And there are really good matchmakers these days. I feel like there are guys that can put on clinics and guys that can put on movies, and I feel like it's a special hybrid of guys that can do both at the same time, and that's what we were witnessing in that match.
We are seeing at the moment a real wonderful time for Impact Wrestling. You yourself, Trey, you put out a tweet that says, for some reason, every week people come to me and say that's after you won the matches and say that was one of the best matches I've seen. You say, you
oh, no, that
stride.
Was my student. That was my student. I just retweeted it. Yeah.
Oh, well, it stands to reason as well for yourself, though. Like, there's a real sense that your stride is being hit right now on Impact. Do you feel like that's the case?
Yeah, 1,000%. And what's really... So my student put that tweet out and it made me think about something. I was like, is this how I feel about myself right now? And I can't say yes, because I'm not getting the same reception about his matches, you know what I mean, that he gets every time, because I also am a little less available to the fans sometimes at shows, because I have to either fly in and just get in there hours early is an optional, or maybe I have to get to a hotel or a flight right after something like that. So the accessibility is a little bit lesser than it was before. But what I can tell you has been my experiences as of late is the guys that I work with. And after the matches, almost 10 times out of 10, I get the, I needed a match like that. Or I needed a match like this. It really is, for someone to tell me I needed that match. And it's guys that have been working for the same amount of time as me, guys that have been working longer than me, guys that are also working for other television companies, guys that are also working for Impact, guys that are in their first 2 years of wrestling. I mean, just, it's kind of been a constant experience, and it does feel really good. It's and I don't ask them, well, what kind of match did you think we have? It's just good to know that they got that feeling from it, because when wrestling makes you feel good, it makes you feel great. I say when wrestling's good, it's really fucking good, because it's the best feeling ever.
You can watch Trey Miguel dishing out the best feeling ever on Impact every week. It's on Impact Plus around the world. And you can follow them on Impact Insiders. Now you can subscribe on YouTube to their channel as well. Trey, it has been an honor.
I subscribe to Impact Insiders. So there you should. It's only $1. It's $1. Come on.
One whole dollar to watch some of the greatest wrestling on the planet. Trey Miguel, it has been an honor and a privilege. Best of luck. I'm expecting 15, 16 at least, maybe 17 viewings of Spider-Man.
All right. Well, I feel like I got at least. If I touch 8, I got to touch 10. We're getting out of the single digits no matter what.
I'll be counting. So, I'll be counting.
I'll keep you updated, brother.
Where can people find you online, Trey?
You can find me online on Twitter and Instagram at TheTreyMiguel, on TikTok under just Trey Miguel, all over the Impact Plus app and YouTube channel. That's where you can find me making people happy and giving them matches that they wanted. And then you can also find me on here the next time we come back, because I'm positive we will be back to give an update on how many times I watched Spider-Man.
You better be back. I'll be living if you're not, Trey. I'll be living if you're not.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.